It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Hope you're having a fantastic week. It's been a busy one. Been a busy week for me, I must say. Football, men's basketball, even a little women's soccer thrown in as well. Recruiting. It's been a fun, entertaining, crazy week. And glad to take some time with you to talk some BYU sports here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. Got a great show, as always, here on the podcast. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe, leave a rating and a review, 5 stars preferably, on the podcast. It helps us out a ton. And you can get the show on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and all major podcasting platforms. So here's what we got on tap today. BYU football getting ready for the Idaho State Bengals. Honestly, no one cares that BYU is playing Idaho State. Well, the big story is the quarterback situation. What else would it be? I mean, I've never seen a season where every single week we're talking about who's the quarterback going to be. I don't think there's really many questions this week like it was last week. There's kind of more of a clear picture as to who's going to be the quarterback for BYU this week, and we'll get into all of that as Zach Wilson is cleared and ready to go for this weekend against the 3-7 Idaho State Bengals. Also, we'll hear from Aaron Roderick and Baylor Romney as well. BYU basketball news. The Cougars defeated Southern Utah 68-63 on Wednesday night. Now the Cougars get ready to take on the Cougars in red, the Houston Cougars. BYU is now in Clutch City getting ready to take on Houston, and that's going to be a big game for BYU and a tough game. We'll preview that a little bit and share some of my thoughts and observations from the SUU win, and then also recruiting news on BYU basketball. Signing day took place. We're in the early signing period at the moment. The Cougar Cagers signed 2 guys, and you'll hear an interview with Spencer Johnson, Solid Community College sharpshooter. He shared some of his thoughts as to why he picked the Cougars. So settle on in, enjoy the show, and we'll get rolling in that direction. Let's start off with BYU football, though. Again, kickoff on Saturday, 1 o'clock kick between BYU and Idaho State. It's going to be senior day. 19 seniors going to be honored with their senior blankets. And you heard from one of them on the podcast earlier this week, and that's Troy Warner. But Troy Warner, he's not going to be getting a senior blanket. He's ready to go for this weekend. The reason for that, of course, is because Warner is going to redshirt this season, play out the final 4 games, and then come back in the 2020 season. Another guy that's returning to the playing field this Saturday is quarterback Zach Wilson. And Wilson's return is much anticipated as he's recovered from the thumb injury that sidelined him dating back to September 28th, that loss at Toledo. And Zach he's cleared, he's ready to go, as he put it. This was Zach Wilson discussing with the media his return to the playing field.
Yeah, ready to go. I'm feeling good. A broken bone's the best thing you can ask for. I say sometimes, you know, it's nothing that's going to hurt you in the long run.
What were you doing to prepare yourself to get ready to come back this week?
Yeah, just taking those mental reps the past couple games that I missed, you know, watching these other quarterbacks, you know, just trying to keep up with, you know, all the mental reps that I could. And then, you know, just trying to improve in other aspects, and then just get the thumb as healthy and as strong as I could.
How impressed were you with Jaron and Baylor stepping in and relief?
Yeah, it was a huge role for those guys. They stepped up, and I know a lot of people know we have great quarterback talent here at BYU, and so I was super proud of those guys of, lack of experience, being able to step up and take advantage of the opportunity and, win us some big games. And, I'm happy that those guys were able to step it up.
Are you competing with Baylor right now to be the starter this week?
It's always a competition every week.
How have the reps been divided in practice?
Whenever A-Rod says I'm going in, whenever he says Baylor's going in, that's kind of just how it's split up.
In the immediate aftermath, when you got injured, what were kind of your thoughts? What are your thoughts now looking back at it?
Yeah, when I first got injured, I was just wondering how I could get this thumb right to go back in the game on that drive. This is the last thing I want to do is come out of that situation and, then just going to see doctors and see how fast I could get back.
Can you just talk about the relationship you have with Baylor and Jaron and Joe as well?
Yeah.
Just like the closeness and the competition between you?
Yeah, we're all really good friends. I mean, that's the coolest part is we have no problem helping each other out and sharing things with each other. And, we all know at the end of the day, it's a game and, it's competitive out here on the field, but, it's nothing that should hurt us on the, in the locker room or, just as friends joking around and stuff. And so, all of us are all super close and we all have really good relationships.
Were your teammates impressed with the fact that you kind of put your body on the line to make that tackle when you did get hurt and after that interception?
I don't know if they were impressed, but just I think they expect it. I mean, if you want to be a leader, you can't fall away from situations like that. If you're going to have a mistake in a game, you better do something about it to try and make it up.
Did you immediately know something was up?
Not exactly on the field. Kind of when I came off, just noticed my hand. I couldn't open my hand up. The thumb was just had a piece that was kind of sticking up a little bit and, just a little painful. So just trying to figure out what's wrong with it.
Go ahead, Jake.
Based on what you've done, not last year, camp this year, the first five games, have you earned the right to be the starter when you get back from your injury?
I mean, that's not my call. I mean, I don't really think a quarterback should ever lose a starting job based on injury. I mean, of course, there's always situations that go into it, right, based on how you're performing before. And, that all comes back to the coaches of what they decide. And so, I know they're going to make the right decision for the team. Whether it's, someone had just been injured and is looking to come back and take their job, it's best person plays is how the role should work, is you're going to play your best players because you want to win. So,
are you excited for the chance to run some of these special plays that have been in the playbook the last few weeks?
No, yeah, it's been cool. It's been fun to be able to air it out and mix it around a little bit and, throw some trick plays at some of these other teams.
You had three senior receivers in their senior day this week. What's it been like more than those guys?
Yeah, I'm so proud of those guys, especially, Micah, Levon, and Talon. Those three receivers have really stepped this year. I mean, Micah has made tremendous strides from, anyone I've ever seen in the receiver room. Levon and Talon have been, some of our base just core receivers for the last couple years too. And so, I'm really going to miss those guys this next year. Some of my best friends too.
What did you learn from your play in the first five games of all your film study that I'm sure you poured over?
Yeah, I mean, we were playing some really good competition, but we were that close to being a really dominant team. I don't think we've seen talent like those first four games that we've, in a while. And so I think it was really good for our team. I think it's helped us win some of these other games that we've had to play after those first four. I think it's given us that confidence and shown us, like, if we can hang with those guys, we can hang with any of these teams. So,
and where do you want to continue to see improvement on a personal level in your game?
Yeah, I mean, just all over. Of course, right now it's just that arm strength and accuracy, and you're working on your own physical abilities, but also in the quarterback room. Game by game, you're learning something new, and just when you feel like you figured it out, there's always something new that's coming up. And so each game, each practice, there's always something I'm taking out of it.
Last couple of questions.
You've had significant layoffs with two injuries this season, and also during the offseason. How quickly does the arm strength come back to full strength, and also all the mechanics and everything?
Yeah, I mean, a thumb is different. Once your thumb is feeling good, I mean, that arm strength comes back. And so, I've had 5 or 6 weeks to just let my shoulder rest, which I didn't really have in the off season. And so I'd probably say my arm strength is better now than it was the first five games of the year that I was able to play. So I would say, physically I'm better now than I was beginning of the season.
So just to clarify, when were you cleared? Was it before last game or was it just this week?
I mean, kind of how it worked. They didn't necessarily give me a time, hey, you're cleared on this date based on these standards. It was just pretty much, hey, the bone's healed. Whenever your grip is back, whenever you can throw a ball, whenever the pain is gone, you'll be cleared and ready to go. And so, you know, last week was just kind of one of those things, emergency situations, if someone had to go in there and just manage the offense and keep things going. And then, you know, also just an experience just to get back on the field and in pads and with the team and warm-ups and stuff. And so I feel really confident about this week, though.
What was the role that you had with the team while you were injured?
You know, it was pretty much just like, I would say, a little sidekick to Coach Roderick. You know, I was talking with him and trying to give input with the offense, but mostly just you know, trying to be that extra set of eyes for the quarterbacks on the sideline, or you know, just a little input I had, and just, you know, being a little pep rally guy on the side, just trying to hype those guys up and being the juice crew guy on the sideline and just keeping guys engaged into the game.
Speaking of A-Rod, I know he was nominated for an assistant coach award today, but what has he done to help the growth of the quarterbacks and the offense as a whole?
No, he's done a great job. I mean, he's definitely added his splash into what we've been doing, and I'm super happy for him just because me and him go side by side, and same with all the other quarterbacks. And so I think he's a special coach. He knows his stuff for sure, and he's been doing it for a long time, so I'm really happy for him.
And there you go. That was BYU quarterback Zach Wilson. He's ready. He's cleared to play as the Cougars get ready to take on the Idaho State Bengals. One of the interesting cuts, though, from that media scrum that Zach had with some of the members, assembled members of the media, including myself, was his comment on should he be the starter for BYU this Saturday? Because that's kind of now a question. I've never felt that's a question. Zach Wilson, he's QB1. You don't mess with Zach Wilson. That guy's got endless potential. But the question was asked, and it's happened that way because Baylor Romney has been dang good. Baylor Romney has closed out the last four games for BYU and done a very nice job, led BYU to two wins as a starter, and then closed out the Utah State game and was nearly flawless in the second half and did a pretty nice job in his two drives against USF. But this is Zach Wilson again on his thoughts as to whether or not he should be returning as the starter.
I mean, that's not my call. I mean, I don't really think a quarterback should ever lose a starting job based on injury. I mean, of course... there's always situations that go into it, right, based on how you're performing before. And, you know, that all comes back to the coaches of what they decide. And so, you know, I know they're going to make the right decision for the team. Whether it's, you know, someone had just been injured and is looking to come back and take their job, it's best person plays is how the role should work, is you're going to play your best players because you want to win. So.
And the best player is Zach Wilson. That's your best player. He should start on Saturday. And one of the interesting things, too, is people have asked, is it too early to bring back Zach Wilson? Because, again, this is a game against Idaho State where doesn't matter who you play at quarterback. You could probably play Joe Critchley. You could probably play Rhett Riley. You're still going to win this football game. But the thing is that you got to get him some valuable reps. You got to get him his timing down. It's important to get him back on the field. If he was healthy throughout the year, you're not considering benching Zach Wilson for another guy just because. You play him. If he's healthy, he's cleared, he's ready to go, you play him, and you're going to start him, in my opinion. Now, quarterback coach and passing game coordinator Aaron Roderick, this is what he had to say on Zach's return, being cleared, ready to go, and his decision coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, he's been cleared. He's been available for a bit. But he hadn't practiced a lot till this week, and he's ready to go. Well, we've pretty much decided what we're doing. We're just not going to announce it because, you know, why would we just want to let our opponent know who's going to be out there. But Baylor and Zach have taken a lot of reps this week.
Yeah, they're both taking reps, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see Baylor Romney get into the game at some point this Saturday. Probably see some Joe Critchlow as well. But again, Zach Wilson's your starter. And Zach Wilson, I feel like people are forgetting how good he is. I mean, 1,300 passing yards and some of his receivers early on in the season after that USC game, the loss against Washington and the loss against Toledo, his receivers weren't doing him many favors. And I think Zach Wilson, the trump card that he has is, hey, put me in this offense that suddenly incorporated all these special, quote, trick plays, the specials as they call them, put me in that offense and let's see what happens. And I think Zach Wilson will show out quite nicely for BYU. And it's going to be interesting this offseason. I mean, you look at BYU's quarterback room. You got Zach Wilson. You got Jaron Hall. You got Baylor Romney. Solje Maiava is going to come into the program next year.
honestly wouldn't be surprised if he's a position change potentially. Jacob Conover's got another year on the mission field. But I think it would be maybe a little bit naive to suggest that all three guys return. And Aaron Roderick said in some of his commentary with the media that he's trying to be fair at all costs. He's trying to be fair with all these quarterbacks because it is a tricky situation. You know, there's only one quarterback that gets on the field. It's tough. And I think all three of these guys now believe they should be a starting quarterback. You know, what makes this interesting, and I've said this quite a bit on Cougar Sports Saturday and here on the podcast, is that all three of these guys, I think, genuinely like and I think love being at BYU. I think Zach Wilson and his family have really entrenched themselves in being part of BYU. They got their younger brother, Josh Wilson. He's going to be joining the program in this 2020 signing class. You look at Jaron Hall. It's well documented the connections he has to BYU, his dad. I mean, his dad converted the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in large part because of guys like Jack DeMooney while playing at BYU. And now Jaron, his older brother, KJ, played at BYU, and his younger brother, Kyson, is going to be playing at BYU as well, a 2021 commit. And then you look at Baylor Romney. He's got his brother, Gunnar Romney. The Romney name is synonymous with BYU and really the LDS faith, to be quite honest. So, you know, it's just an interesting dynamic. And the thing is, too, is that Baylor's got his wife, who's on the track and field team on a scholarship here at BYU. So how is it going to all shake out after this season? I don't know. But you got to think that all three of these guys, depending on how this all plays out, it might be tough to imagine all of them coming back next season. But that's just speculation. I think that, honestly, though, I could see a scenario where all three did come back just because, again, of the unique situations and connections to BYU. That's what makes BYU a special place, is that you kind of get this bond, you get this connection to the program that just doesn't provide. It's not like just playing for a school just because you look at the depth chart. A lot of guys don't come to BYU just because of the depth chart, the facilities. They don't do that. They come to BYU for a lot of reasons, and one of them mainly being they want to play for something that means the standards that they represent in their life. You know, and that's a big thing to a lot of guys. And so I'm going to be very fascinated to see how this all plays out with the quarterback room. But with all that said, your quarterback one is Zach Wilson into discussion. Zach Wilson's the number one guy for BYU, and I wouldn't even blink twice about it. Now, the thing is, too, what's great is that you get down the road and say you get to a San Diego State, you get to a bowl game in the Hawaii Bowl or whatever it may be, Vegas or not, most likely going to be the Hawaii Bowl. But you get to a bowl game and, you know, Zach doesn't play his greatest game. Now, there's a higher standard. You know, Zach's got to deliver great results every single week because now he knows there's capable backups behind him that the coaching staff knows that they can win ball games. I mean, Jaron Hall, it wasn't a fluke what he did in that first half against Utah State. He was great. He was dealing. And Baylor Romney is very solid. But Zach Wilson, he's a gamer. I think he, to me, has got the highest potential to be an NFL quarterback. I think Zach Wilson could be one of the all-timers in BYU history. I'm all in on Zach Wilson. You won't hear me say Zach Wilson isn't a good quarterback. Zach Wilson's a dang good quarterback. I mean, I kind of feel like I started the Zach Wilson hype train a little bit. I mean, when that guy signed with BYU back in December 2017, I knew right there and then that guy had the ability to potentially be the starter because, one, the quarterback situation was in dire straits for BYU, and two, the guy was just a relentless work ethic. And when you got guys that are relentless work ethic-wise, it's going to make for a very good player and potentially great if the talent lends itself out on the field. And I think so far, Zach Wilson has been pretty dang good. And you got to factor in the competition that he's faced to this point. So I think he'll be straight dealing quite a bit on Idaho State and against UMass. And then we'll see how he performs against San Diego State. But it's important to get him reps leading up to that San Diego State game and ultimately the bowl game, most likely in Hawaii. Let's take a quick timeout, though. On the other side, get to some BYU basketball recap of the SUU game. get a little preview of Houston, and then also talk some basketball recruiting news. This is the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're not really playing at all like we hope to play. I don't really think there was even a spurt where we played like we hope to play offensively. And we did a poor job for 30 minutes protecting the rim.
We learned that we can respond. We can win ugly games. We can win frustrating games. We can fight. We can win together. Guys are going to step up. We learned a lot about our team tonight. And I think going forward, we're gonna keep doing what we can.
That was Mark Pope and Jake Toulson. BYU basketball gets the win over Southern Utah, and it was a dogfight. And that sound courtesy of Zach Hicken of KSL Sports and KSL TV. Go check out Zach's video recap of the game up on KSLSports.com. Good stuff there from Zach. But you know, you look at this BYU game over Southern Utah, 68-63. The Cougars get the win. It wasn't pretty, no doubt about it. I mean, Southern Utah, they attacked the rim. The rim protection for BYU was woof. It was not good. Southern Utah got to the rim with ease off their dribble penetration. It was an issue. I mean, I looked at that game and I'm thinking to myself, one, Southern Utah's got better athletes than BYU. Goodness gracious, what's going on here? Two, couldn't help but think, you know, again, put Yoli Childs, put Gavin Baxter in the game. Suddenly it's a different outcome. Heck, put in Jesse Wade. I think he'd knock down a few more threes for BYU. That's a different game as well. But nonetheless, credit to Southern Utah and Todd Simon. That program down in Cedar City, they might win the Big Sky this year. They look good. They're transfer laden. They're a stacked group, and I really like what they're doing down in Cedar City. I got to give a shout-out to my cousin, McKay Pett, who used to work here at KSL TV. He's doing some great stuff with their social media content down at Southern Utah. And, hey, they're a good team this year. Excited to see how they finish out. But BYU grinded out a way to win. And this BYU team is going to have to do that pretty much every night. And maybe even with Yoli Childs as well. Because you look at the front court. I mean, imagine a game where Yoli Childs gets two whistles right off the bus. I mean, get to the 16-minute mark and Yoli's got maybe two fouls. He's out the rest of the game, or the rest of the first half. So even when you get Yoli back, there's depth issues on this team because of all the injuries that have taken place in this group. So this BYU team has got to be kind of a grit and grind, kind of Memphis Grizzlies style. They got to be tough. They got to be more physical, and they got to be better rim protectors if they want to find a way to win some games. Clearly, they got to knock down shots too. In the second half, the three ball kind of got a little sticky, in the words of Mark Pope. First half, they were shooting at a nice clip, about 56% or so in the first half. What was crazy to me, though, about this game against Southern Utah is the fact that the T-Birds were 0-for-12 from the three-point line. They didn't hit a single three, and they were there blow-for-blow with BYU. And at stretches in the second half, they had all the momentum in the world. They were on a run. They had all the probabilities in their favor to win the game. So credit to BYU for just finding a way to win, avoiding the bad loss, because that would have been a killer. Now, I feel like fans are maybe adjusting their expectations a little bit after what we've seen from the first three games, and rightfully so. I don't think that this team, and I said it in the preseason, I don't think this team is an NCAA tournament squad this year. I mean, call me crazy, but Mark Pope's program might be better next year than this year. But I digress. I think the talent level, and when you get guys back from injuries and get transfers eligible, they're going to be deeper, they're going to be better. Just saying. But right now, in the here and now, it's going to be a tough road to hoe. And it doesn't get any easier as BYU doesn't return home until November 30th. So now BYU is going to have to win on the road. They got to go to Houston. Then they're in Houston right now getting ready for that game against the Cougs. Then they go at Boise State next Wednesday. And then they go to Maui for three games in a, you know, starting off with UCLA, potentially Kansas or Chaminade, and then maybe a Georgia or Virginia Tech, whoever it may be, in that third game. It's going to be a tough stretch. And what we saw from that Southern Utah game, Jake Toulson, though, he's big. That guy can hit clutch shots, and that's why you got him into that transfer portal as a grad transfer. He was a huge addition for this BYU team because he's just a guy that can rise up and hit a shot. I mean, that three he hit with under a minute to go to put BYU up four and give them that cushion that they needed, it was just kind of a disjointed play all around. He just kind of rose up, got a little free, and hit that three. I mean, that's just a guy that's confident, making a big play, and Toulson ended up with 22 points on 8 of 21 from the field and shot 2 of 8 from the three-point line. He's got to get a little bit better. But, hey, I like the fact that he got up 8 attempts. I want to see this BYU team jack up more threes. 22 attempts, I want to see that thing like 28. I want to see that thing like 30, maybe 32. Jack up the three. Live and die by it. I mean, I'd rather live and die by the three than just die trying to be a rim-protecting team, because we know that isn't going to work. That's just not going to work with this group. It's not. We've seen what it is through three games, two of the three games against sub-150 teams. Just hasn't been great all around. Once you got to a top 100 team in San Diego State, it was a lot tougher. And Houston's going to be a real tall order. They're a top 30 team. And to get more insight on the Houston Cougars, I interviewed Kelvin Sampson, head coach of the Houston Cougars, earlier today. And you can hear that interview on the podcast feed. So make sure to subscribe here to this Cougar Tracks podcast on all major podcasting platforms, so you can check out all the episodes and never miss a thing. We'll break a little bit more down about the Houston Cougars tomorrow. Tip off between BYU and Houston, set for 7 o'clock, and you can hear the game on KSL News Radio. Some good news on the BYU recruiting trail for basketball. Signing day took place, and BYU signed two guys. Spencer Johnson, Salt Lake Community College shooter from the Bruins, and also Richie Saunders of Wasatch Academy. So two of the top in-state shooters in the class of 2020 signing with BYU. Now, Richie Saunders, he's going to be a mission-first kid. Spencer Johnson, however, he's got 3 years to play three. He's currently the leading scorer for an SLCC team that boasts 8 former Division I players. So it's a pretty stacked roster in terms of talent that have previously been at other D1 schools. Kind of like the last chance U type of setup over at Slick. And Spencer Johnson's the leading scorer through the first four games for the Bruins. And Spencer, I was at his signing day event when he officially signed his letter of intent to play for BYU, and he discussed why he ultimately chose the Cougars. Here with Spencer Johnson, signing day, early signing period here in college basketball. Spencer, how does it feel to now officially be a BYU Cougar?
It feels so good. Like, I just know where I'm going. I'm so excited to be a part of this team next year.
What went into the decision to ultimately pick BYU?
Honestly, like, I've known these coaches for a really long time. Like, I knew them in high school, and then I was at Utah Valley with them for, you know, a little bit. And it just felt like it was just like the most comfortable situation. I knew that, you know, they believed in me the most and that I could go there and have the most success. So, like, it just all made sense.
You know, we always hear the term with Mark Pope that he's relentless. Speak to that. Is that the case on the recruiting trail with Coach Pope as well?
That is 100%. He talks a big game and, you know, he's here to win. And honestly, I think that's like what attracted me the most was, like, you know, you want to win and you want to win big. And like at BYU, I feel like there's no better place for me to do that.
Along with BYU, what other schools were kind of in the mix for you?
I had Boise State in there. They offered me. I had Dixie State, Utah Valley offered me. So at that point, kind of my decision, those were the schools I was considering.
What has SLCC done for you to get you in a position to get back into the D1 scene?
This place is amazing, you know, here at Salt Lake. You know, these coaches, I know they've been on the phones with, you know, coaches around the country calling them up, and, you know, they put me in situations to, you know, be my best self on the basketball court, in the classroom, and it's a great spot, you know. I love it here, and I'm really glad that I came here.
You mentioned you had a brief stop at Utah Valley. How long was that after you left Weber State? What was the situation at Utah Valley?
So I was only there for one semester. It was the spring 2019 semester. So I was there. I was planning on staying there. Coach Pope left. And then I kind of was considering my options, and you know, I just felt like Salt Lake was the best place for me to go. So
you got a younger brother in Isaac who's going to Oregon. He's currently serving a mission, right? Is that right?
Yep, he's in Columbus, Ohio.
Cool. You can keep in touch with him all the time, every week at least.
Yeah, I actually called him on Monday. We do the video call every so often, and he's loving it out there. He's doing really well.
What do you think is the potential of BYU, you know, going forward? I know it's the beginning stages of the Mark Pope era, but what do you think the vision is for Pope in this program?
The vision is to win as big as we can. You know, I think we can do that as well. Like, you know, you've seen what Coach Pope and his staff have been able to do at Utah Valley. Just the, you know, 20, 25 win seasons they've had, and, you know, it's just a bigger stage with, you know, playing better teams, and there's no other way as a competitor you'd rather do that.
In your eligibility, do you have 3 years left to play three? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. After this year, I'll have 3 years at BYU.
And what's the timetable, like when you plan to arrive at BYU?
So I have to graduate here from Salt Lake, so I'll be there next summer, so summer 2020.
For fans that maybe aren't familiar with your game, how would you describe yourself?
I'd say I'm pretty versatile, you know. I'm a great shooter, can take it off the bounce, great rebounder. I can pass the ball, I can come off pick and rolls, so I can defend multiple positions. I just feel like I'm a really versatile player, and, you know, in today's game, that's really what you need.
So there you go, Spencer Johnson, BYU signee, now officially on the board for the BYU basketball program, and he'll be enrolled next year and have 3 years to play three. Richie Saunders, he'll be a mission first player. And I think, you know, maybe BYU might have another add between now and next Wednesday. We'll see who they end up potentially adding, if anyone at all. And then they'll have to wait. If they don't sign anyone else, they'll have to wait till April to sign the rest of their 2020 recruiting class. But that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to subscribe. Leave a rating and a review for the show. It helps out the podcast a ton. We'll be back tomorrow to give an in-depth preview of BYU versus Idaho State, and also preview BYU versus Houston, BYU women's soccer in the NCAA tournament. So a lot on tap tomorrow. Don't miss it. And then also an interview with Sawyer Powell, BYU senior, caught up with me. You don't want to miss that. Really kind of a emotional kind of interview where you could tell the game of football has meant a lot to Sawyer Powell. So make sure to subscribe to the show, leave a rating and review so you don't miss any of the future podcasts moving forward in what I feel is the most comprehensive and in-depth podcast for all things BYU sports. So talk to you tomorrow here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.